WCCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. The judge told President Trump not so fast. A federal judge in Seattle imposed a temporary restraining order against Trump's bid to redefine what's called birthright citizenship, long guaranteed by the 14th Amendment. Washington State Attorney General Nick Brown.
The court saw the seriousness and the urgency of the complaints and requests for a temporary restraining order brought by the state of Washington, Oregon, Arizona, and Illinois, and are thrilled.
The president says they'll appeal. A judge still has to approve, but Purdue Pharma and the founding Sackler family agreed to an increased settlement of $7.5 billion to settle one group's opioid lawsuits. Seven San Antonio police officers are recovering after being shot responding to a suicide in progress call at an apartment complex. Six are already out of the hospital. A suspect was later found dead inside. This is ABC News. President Trump ordered 1,500 active-duty military personnel to help out at the southern border. Not a lot of action there.
Over the last year, we have seen a considerable drop. Now, some of that was forced. There was a border security bill that was in place, had bipartisan support. It obviously didn't work out. So then we had to see the president step in and put in, strict measures back in June. And that really is what impacted, what we are seeing now. The apprehension numbers are low.
ABC's Maria Villarreal. Coming up for auction at Christie's, the 14-carat solid gold spike President Warren G. Harding drove into the final coupling of the Alaska Railroad in 1923. The ceremonial 5.5-inch spike has been in private hands outside Alaska ever since. Looking to bring the artifact home, the Anchorage Museum and Alaska Railroad will be participating in the bidding, which opens on Friday. The spike is valued at up to $50,000. Richard Cantu, ABC News.
Matt Nair on air.
Robotaxis made by Zooks are slated to hit the streets of California later on this year. Rides will initially be free for people who agree to test it out. You go first. Wait,
have you ever wanted to drive in a four-person casket with no driver?
My biggest sticking point about this is the name. Zooks is a cartoon character.
Yeah. Do you think when he just drives, he's going bumping, 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 bumping?
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Imagine home. The smell of coffee, the sound of a lawnmower, the sun's warmth on your face. Free to be yourself, surrounded by love that helps you grow. This is a place to call home. That's an American dream we all deserve. But in 50% of U.S. states, you could legally be denied housing if you are LGBTQ+. Get the facts and hear real stories at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
The Bucks take on Miami. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. NBA, the Bucks back home tonight against the Miami Heat at Fiserv Forum, but Miami's Jimmy Butler will not be there. The former Marquette star missed the team flight to Milwaukee last night, so the Heat have suspended him the next two games. Butler claims he planned to take a later flight. He just completed a 7-game suspension for conduct detrimental to the team. He's made it no secret he wants to be traded to the Phoenix Suns. College football, the Badgers' new offensive coordinator, Jeff Grimes, asked, what's the plan at quarterback now that Braden Locke and Tyler Van Dyke have both transferred out of Wisconsin?
We went and recruited a couple of guys. Billy Edwards obviously is somebody that we're expecting big things from. He came here not long after I did, and so there's a natural connection there for he and I. That would be the case whether he were new or not. Building a trust and a relationship with your quarterback is certainly something that's important for me.
That's the Badgers coach Jeff Grimes. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Peach Wabba. We are hitting the height of award season buzz. The granddaddy of them all, the Academy Awards, are right around the corner, and the nominations are officially out. Let's start off in the category everyone is on pins and needles about, Best Sound. Just kidding. There's pretty much something for everyone, as 10 films from several genres have been recognized in the Best Picture category. Leading the nominations this year is the foreign film Emilia Perez with 13 nominations. The musical tells the story of a drug kingpin struggling with gender-affirming issues. Close behind Emilia were The Brutalist, List and Wicked with 10 nominations apiece. Conclave and A Complete Unknown also made an impressive showing with 8 noms each. Rounding out the nominees in the Best Picture category were independent films Nickel Boys, Anora, The Substance, I'm Still Here, and the blockbuster Dune 2. There is your list of movies to check out before March 2. You have 6 weeks. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Peach Wabo, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear for tonight, a low close to 5 below. Clouds return for tomorrow, some flurries and snow showers in the afternoon and evening. Highs into the low 20s. Mostly cloudy, breezy, scattered flurry Saturday, high low 30s. Currently it's 6.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I'm joined by Kim Shevchik from Doctors in Recital, and it's a bar band Friday night, which means our pal Terry Barr drops by with new music and sparkling conversation. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
It's a good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Courtney Cup, he need cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. A Kutagi to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events. And as you know, Chujunk, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, you are right, Dega. This portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, we got Robert Lilligren on or a little later here, and we got to talk to him, Haley, about us Native Americans. Trump now wants to deport us, and geez, I don't know where we'd go.
No, I don't know either. It's almost like we were originated from this land or something.
Or something, yeah. So very interesting. We are in for a weird 4 years, so...
Have those tribal IDs on hand.
Yeah, definitely. And definitely down south for sure. And we are kidding around. We're not kidding around, but definitely down south.
Yeah. Then, well, I saw something too, that they have like a whole 100-mile border control thing around the whole country. So that includes like where Minnesota is right next to Canada. So cities included in that 100-mile radius would be like Bemidji, Duluth, yeah, everywhere along Lake Superior pretty much.
Yeah, definitely. And then if you see an ICE, person run, and the thought behind that, Haley, is like, if they catch you, it's okay, but you're going to waste their time so they don't go out and catch our relatives that are indigenous to this this hemisphere.
Right. Just kind of waste their time.
Yeah, definitely. Like I said earlier, we're going to have Robert Lilligren on in a little bit here. But we always enjoy, and it's a weekly update from the governor of Wisconsin. And speaking of which, Haley, before I intro that, is I was on the Matrinan show on today, and at 10:30 at people in Racine, Wisconsin, on Civic Media, and it was really fun. What a bunch of pros, and they were excellent. And we talked about Leonard Peltier.
Sweet. Awesome. Yeah, great shout out to our Civic Media listeners out there. That's cool to share the platform, and cool that they invited you to speak on that issue too.
Yeah, we talk about it all the time. We've had Leonard on, we've had his daughter on, we've had a lot of people that are boots on the ground for them. And you know, our sister state, Wisconsin, but I feel like the seven state area or five state areas are sisters, because there was no borders and Ho-Chunk were everywhere in the last 10,000 years. So,
yeah,
we're all related.
Good point. No borders.
That's right. Hey, let's take a quick listen, to our weekly report from Governor Evers from the great state of Wisconsin.
Hey there, Native Roots Radio. Governor Tony Evers here with my weekly update.
There are a lot of ways we can lower everyday out-of-pocket costs to make sure Wisconsinites and working families can afford basic needs. So I have good news. The plan I'm announcing tonight will support our economy and our workforce, lower out-of-pocket costs for working families and Wisconsinites, and help give folks a little breathing room in their household budgets. No surprise, child care is too darn expensive. We have to make child care more affordable and accessible. This is as much about doing what's best for our kids as it's doing what's best for parents and our workforce and in our economy, too. Our state budget will, once again, include sustainable, ongoing funding to make our child care counts program permanent, including investing over $500 million aimed at lowering child care costs, supporting this critical industry, investing in employer-sponsored child care. And when we're looking at everyday out-of-pocket costs, child care is not the only thing folks are struggling to afford. The cost of prescriptions and life-saving medication like insulin are also too darn high. According to a 2023 national survey, more than a quarter of adults in America are having a hard time affording their prescription drugs. No Wisconsinite should have to choose between paying bills and putting food on the table and getting their life-saving medication. Accessing health care and picking up basic prescriptions or insulin should not break the bank, folks. So let's work to lower the cost of prescriptions and protect consumers from price gouging on life-saving medication. Through my Less for Rx plan, I will again ask Republicans and Democrats work together to approve new state programs aimed at setting price ceilings for prescriptions and improving oversight of drug companies to make sure Wisconsinites are getting a fair shake. Let's remove the sales tax on over-the-counter medications and cap the copay on insulin at $35 while we're at it.
Thanks for listening. Back to you, Robert, and Native Roots Radio.
Hey, thank you, Governor Evers. And I heard a little applause there. That was awesome.
Yeah, it sounded like a live audience one.
Yeah, definitely. Hey, before we get to our friend Robert Lilligren on, there's some things on we want to talk about. There's some things happening. We're on the air. We're on the air, and there's things happening, right?
Really great things happening. This is I don't know. I took a lot of field trips in elementary school, or just like as a student, and I was really fortunate to be able to do this. And one of my favorite places to go as a kid was the Science Museum of Minnesota.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, this is really cool.
Yeah, there's a STEM celebration January 25th. STEM, it's going to host Native Americans that are in STEM. And that's, I think it's science something, something, something that stands for.
Science and what is the T? That's a good, obviously I'm not in that.
Yeah, you weren't in it or you weren't paying attention. But it's the science definitely is the first word.
And math.
Maybe
that's the last one.
Yeah.
Yeah, really smart people stuff.
Technical education, math. We could make something up during the commercial, but it's happening down there at the fair, or at the fair.
At
Where's
the
my mind? At the Science Museum of Minnesota, and I do believe it's going to be free and encourage museum goers to celebrate the wide range of perspectives that make us all better innovators, problem solvers, and change makers. And so it's the Science Museum of Minnesota hosts Native Americans in STEM celebration on January 25th. It took a lot for me to get that sentence out, Haley.
Yeah, it's a lot of great information that they have going on this Saturday, the 25th, at the Science Museum of Minnesota. It'll be from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Guests are invited to visit the museum to celebrate Native American experiences in science, which I think we are like the professionals of science. Like, I think we really expertise in that. Every other Saturday, too, through March 8th, the Science Museum of Minnesota is inviting visitors and those in STEM who identify as Black, Indigenous, and people of color, as well as women and girls, to the museum to celebrate diversity and creativity in STEM. So that'll be every other Saturday through March 8th. Yeah, that's kind of cool. It's a long celebration. At these events over the course of those weeks, guests can discover impactful careers and contributions of diverse STEM professionals in healthcare, technology, and more, with fun on-site demonstrations as well. This Saturday's special appearances will include the Red Lake Singers, the Twin Cities Intertribal Drum and Dance Troupe, and Ojibwe storyteller Logan Monroe.
Wow. I know, right? This is awesome.
Yeah.
This Saturday, the 25th, from 11 to 3. That's amazing.
Yeah, Science Museum of Minnesota. And there's so much more to check out, too, while you're there. It's a great time.
Yeah, and something about on Saturday, too, the 25th, visual highlights from 1 to 2:30, performance by the Red Lake Singers, a local drum and dance troupe, and immersion storytelling from Ojibwe Stories. And they tell good stories, Haley.
Yeah, so I've heard, definitely. Haven't heard a bad one, for sure. Yeah.
Good one. Hey, well, we got our friend Robert Lilligren on, and I'm going to have to check his tribal ID, because Trump's coming at us, and we'll have to talk a little bit about that. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio, and we are awake, and we got to blast out all this misinformation and fight back. We Resist Part 2. We'll be right back.
I heard sex trafficking happens a lot in Indian country. What is that?
Here are some of the real reasons why sex trafficking happens in Indian country. Unequal gender roles that were forced on us by colonization. Communities don't have enough resources. Silence around domestic and sexual violence. Lack of attention and justice for missing and murdered indigenous people. There's a lot of behavior that keeps our communities out of balance. These are just a few true reasons why native communities are targeted by traffickers. When these acts of violence happen in our communities, it opens us all up for exploitation.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
J&S Bean Factory is a native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
I love the Toyota Sienna Hybrid from Rudy Luther Toyota. Safe, roomy, comfortable, and insanely fuel efficient. One thing I haven't mentioned is how good the Sienna is at winter driving. We just had a snowstorm, and my Sienna handled the ice and snow no problem. From getting through the plow pile at the end of the driveway to safely navigating the snow-covered highways, the Sienna is designed to give you a comfortable, safe drive. When winter weather hits, I give myself extra time, but with Sienna's handling and heated seats, extra time is great. Test drive a Sienna today at Rudy Luther Toyota, 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Hi, this is Governor Walz. Thank you for listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Development Institute, or NACD, in Minneapolis.
Yes. Hey, we have our friend Robert Lilligren, who is the CEO of Native American Community Development Institute here in the Minneapolis Twin Cities. And it's always good to talk and stop in and see you. You know, the last time the orange one ran and was president for 4 years, he seemed to only pass one bill that was, tax the poor and give the money to the rich. And we did really well resisting them. But geez, this kind of stuff coming up here is just daunting. It's making me a little nervous.
Yeah, me too. Bonjour, Haley. Bonjour, Robert. So good to be with you. And yeah, it's just it's executive orders, right? They're not really passing legislation. Mm-hmm. I think there's questions about many of them, whether they're even legal or not. And so we'll get into all of that. But I think it's, this rapid fire pace is just sort of setting a tone. Right. Mm-hmm. This is what we want to do. He wants to change everything and really hurt people. It's just, these executive orders are very, very damaging. And then just these operating things, right? The White House website's been scrubbed of anything in Spanish, for example. The CDC is supposedly prohibited from putting out any kind of health warnings until February 1st, you know, and we're in the middle of a, what do they call it, a quaddemic. Things like this, he's operating, rescinding the executive order that allows transgender people to serve in the military. I mean, this is really at no real point. They're not really, so it's like he's out to cause harm.
So, you know, part of the resisting and part what's great about this show is that we put this out for people to listen and know what's going on, because we do really, as Native Americans, we need to resist and get our resist t-shirts going again and our resist hats and really speak the truth and call these people out on this.
Agree. We're the resistance experts, right? And this is what I thought since the election. This is going to be harder on people who aren't accustomed to having to resist every single day of their lives. But we've been doing it for generations. We're good at it. We're organized at it. And so I think it's going to be a real opportunity for Native people to lead through this resistance. And I think we're ready to take that opportunity, right?
Wow. Great point. Really great point. And I appreciate you being in the community, and we got another battle to go here. And when does it end? I don't know. Maybe never, but like you said, we are still here, and we're going to be doing it and talking about things and taking care of our people, which you and your organization and people on the Avenue and all over Turtle Island and here in Minnesota especially are taking care of our relatives.
We're trying, right? And it's such a community effort. And, you know, you say, when does it end? Well, this term ends in 4 years. So we know that, right? So we can come back from there and be ready for the next elections for sure. And I think of where we are now. We talk about this a lot, you know, sort of generationally. I just had this conversation before I left the office with a young, brilliant, emerging Native leader here, and just making sure that we're supporting folks, we're making space for next generation leadership to step in. And sometimes that means we step out, right, and make that space. And that was what the conversation was about. And, you know, maybe I was just rationalizing my not wanting to do more work, but like it's strategically say, I'm stepping out so you can step in. You know, and so to make sure that folks are ready, and we'll see. It's still hard to kind of tell what we're going to have to do in these 4 years. But like you said, I think my theme since the election has been resist. We're going to, it's going to be a resistance term here for a lot of us. And then I also think for me, it's pushing back on this message that, you know, somehow this last election demonstrated some massive mandate. No. And I would point out that Trump didn't even gain a majority of votes. Yes, he won the popular election for the popular vote this time, but it wasn't a majority. It's a plurality victory. Right. So I don't know how you mine this idea that you have a mandate. Really, if that's anything, it's a mandate to work in everyone's interests, not just your own party's.
Right. Well, you know, if you do the math, half the people vote. So you have half the people that at three quarters of the people didn't vote for him. If you do the math, like, well, my math.
Right. So, you know, there's another lesson there. And I'm sure we'll be doing sort of forensic analysis on that election for a long time. What worked, what didn't work. You know, but elections are a numbers game. Right? So it's getting voters out there. And we'll see. I'm in my heart of hearts, and I'm an optimist, so I think you know, people will learn from this experience, and whether that's partisan politicians or general public, and you know, the what is it? People wanted cheaper eggs, and now we have more expensive insulin costs, right? So he's not delivering on what seemed to have motivated the popular vote. So we'll see.
Yeah, definitely. Well, and then except for this last time with Biden, there's usually a big switch in 2 years with the House and Senate too. So we can work towards that. I was going to say count on that, but we're going to work towards that and make that happen.
Agree. And that is a huge opportunity. I think people are recognizing that opportunity. You're exactly right. Generally speaking, in the midterm elections during a presidential term, there's a huge switch of party. The sitting president's party, what is it Obama said, takes a shellacking, right? And so we can hope for that and work toward it, right? And at least there would be some sense of check and balance on this federal government rather than just sort of writing this blank check for the president. And I have very low confidence in what the House of Representatives is going to produce this term. And it seems like the Senate, you know, is a little more moderate, which thank goodness, but still it's a majority there, right? And we'll see with the Hegseth vote. You know, there was two Republican senators that voted no. Mm. And that was enough, right, to sink that. So we have a lot of hope pinned on. Of course, it's Alaska Senator Murkowski.
Yes.
Who has great relationships in the Native community. She's very aware. And mm-hmm. then Maine Senator Collins, and who often will say the right thing and vote the wrong way. But at least on this one issue, it looks like she voted the right way.
That's awesome. You know, next segment, I kind of want to talk about, you know, the things that we've gone through just in our lifetime, because we used to have that talk when we were on 2 hours in one day. And before we'd record, we always had a really interesting, I really remember fondly our conversations that we had before we recorded the segment for the show. And one of them, you know, it was just like, you know, 78, you were a senior in high school. I was a junior. Yes. And things changed politically. Prior to that, the American Indian Movement. Prior to that, in my lifetime, you know, the Alcatraz. So there was a lot of traction where I believe myself, by being in tribal government, that things get taken care of outside of that realm quicker and faster and better for our Native people all across Turtle Island than it does maybe in the political realm. But there's a lot of people that are doing great work like yourself on the Avenue, the Native American Community Development Institute. We got the clinics. We got OIC. And we have all these things that historically we didn't have.
Right. No, I would love it. And I know you always have to point out that I'm a year older than you. And so I will demand the respect of your elder.
Yes.
But and I like that, and I feel so fortunate to work in the environment I work in that is in the middle of all of these institutions and agencies that were really built out of the movement you're talking about, the establishment of AIM. And then within just a few blocks of my office, as you know, there's probably 40 maybe Native organizations, tribes that have a presence on the American Indian Culture Corridor.
Yeah.
So for me, we're kind of this bridge generation, right? We had our I call them the founders, you know, our elders who helped establish all of this. And so now what do we do with it, with the incredible gifts that they presented us? And then how do we prepare for the next generations? And this was so much the conversation I was having right before I left the office. I can't believe it. But I think we really feel responsibility for this, right? Let's not squander what our elders fought so hard to establish for us.
Yeah, and I guess for people our age too, we have more work to do with our relatives and slowly hand it off. But we need to get in the front line again, like we have and do. And so there is that too. There's, I guess, no rest for the wicked.
Right. That's what I said. I'm trying to get younger people to step up so we can rest.
Well, shoot. Hey, we're here with Robert Lilligren, CEO of Native American Community Development Institute here in the Twin Cities in Minneapolis, and we love having our conversations over the years, and this is Native Roots Radio 9th season, so Robert's a big part of that.
News from the Center, WRCE.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu.
The judge told President Trump, not so fast. A federal judge in Seattle imposed a temporary restraining order against Trump's bid to redefine what's called birthright citizenship, long guaranteed by the 14th Amendment. Washington State Attorney General Nick Brown.
The court saw the seriousness and the urgency of the complaints and requests for a temporary restraining order brought by the state of Washington, Oregon, Arizona, and Illinois, and are thrilled.
The president says they'll appeal. A judge still has to approve, but Purdue Pharma and the founding Sackler family agreed to an increased settlement of $7.5 billion to settle one group's opioid lawsuits. Seven San Antonio police officers are recovering after being shot responding to a suicide in progress call at an apartment complex. Six are already out of the hospital. A suspect was later found dead inside. This is ABC News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
The Bucks take on Miami. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. NBA, the Bucks back home tonight against the Miami Heat at Fiserv Forum, but Miami's Jimmy Butler will not be there. The former Marquette star missed the team flight to Milwaukee last night, so the Heat have suspended him the next two games. Butler claims he planned to take a later flight. He just completed a seven-game suspension for conduct detrimental to the team. He's made it no secret he wants to be traded to the Phoenix Suns. College football, the Badgers' new offensive coordinator, Jeff Grimes, asked, what's the plan at quarterback now that Braden Locke and Tyler Van Dyke have both transferred out of Wisconsin?
We went and recruited a couple of guys. Billy Edwards obviously is somebody that we're expecting big things from. He came here not long after I did, and so there's a natural connection there for he and I. That would be the case whether he were new or not. Building a trust and a relationship with your quarterback is certainly something that's important for me.
That's the Badgers coach Jeff Grimes. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Oscar nominations came out yesterday. 10 movies were nominated for Best Picture. But in the Best Supporting Actor category, there were 5 nominees, including Yura Borisov for Anora, Edward Norton for his role opposite Timothy Chalamet in the Bob Dylan biopic, A Complete Unknown. Guy Pearce was nominated for his role in The Brutalist. Kieran Culkin for the comedy drama A Real Pain. And his Succession co-star Jeremy Strong drew a nomination for his part in The Apprentice. A Complete Unknown, The Brutalist, and Anora all drew Best Picture nominations as well. In the Best Supporting Actress category, it was more good news for A Complete Unknown as Monica Barbaro was nominated, to no one's surprise. Ariana Grande got a nod for her role in the blockbuster Wicked. Felicity Jones for The Brutalist. Isabella Rossellini is up for her role in Conclave. And after showing her musical side, the Academy recognized Zoe Saldana for her role in Emilia Perez. Every film these actresses were in was also nominated for Best Picture. Nice job, girls. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabo, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear for tonight, a low close to 5 below. Clouds return for tomorrow, some flurries and snow showers in the afternoon and evening. Highs into the low 20s. Mostly cloudy, breezy, scattered flurry Saturday, high low 30s. Currently it's 6.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Jack Smith's report. Maggie, prosecutors considered charging Trump with inciting insurrection, but didn't.
There's an old saying, if you shoot at the king, don't miss. If it's someone who's really powerful or really rich, I gotta be absolutely certain I can prove every charge beyond a reasonable doubt. When it's people that don't have means, then it's I'll throw every conceivable charge at you.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Where are you at with dome stadiums?
Oh, love them. Snow games are awesome, but it's also a risk of injuries and everything.
Give me a dome anytime. I don't want to see elite athletes running on snow like it's me playing out there and tripping and slipping. I want to watch those guys run. I want the receivers to run and catch their passes. I want to see great athletes being great athletes.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. A big show on a Friday. Make sure to join us, Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez, former Wisconsin Badger Brady Ewing, and Peter Rapine of E-Bombs World. Be here.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hi, this is Representative Charisse Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Hey, we are with our friend Robert Lilligren, Native American Community Development Institute CEO and president. And we are always blessed to have such great guests on over the years. And Robert's right up there on the, well, the top five for sure.
You are too kind. You make me blush.
Well, no. And it's funny, too. I remember asking you to come on the show, and it was right around Christmas, and you and your husband go up north. I don't know if you remember. You still do. Of course, you still do that. But and I thought, oh, he's blowing me off. And no, sure enough, here you've been on like 4 or 5 years.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's so interesting. You know, we take that little break right before the holidays, and then at NACTI, our work kind of slows down a little around the holidays, so we shut the office between Christmas and New Year's. And then usually it's kind of a little nice ramp up in the new year of our work. But, man, we just went from 0 to 100 miles an hour overnight. And so work is busy. The other work I do in the community is really in full force. So it hasn't been a very restful year, but a lot's going on, and I feel very privileged to be part of it.
Yeah, definitely. And we've been celebrating here on Native Roots Radio. And as you know, over the years, the end of our show is we talk about Free and Leonard Peltier. And then we've also had Leonard on, and we've had his lawyer. We've had people in the community that have done marches. We've had FBI agents over the years that have talked about how the climate has been directed anti-Indian and kind of making an example of him for us to keep us in line. But Robert, I don't know how you felt, but I was surprisingly really emotional when this came down.
Yeah, same here. I think it was very emotional for a lot of people in Indian country and our allies as well, right? This has been a big national movement. Huge thanks to all of the people who kept pressure on, kept this moving along. And not only was it the right thing to do, it was a smart thing to do, right? And I really thought during the last days of the Obama administration, we would see a commutation or a pardon. That didn't happen. And I'm really grateful to President Biden because things could come out very differently, right? And I'm glad. And one of my concerns was that had Biden not taken some action, then Trump would have. And I think that would have had an impact on politics in Indian country that would have reverberated forward for years, generations, maybe even. Well, this guy would do what we wanted him to do, right? And so that's when I say when it was politically a smart thing to do. Again, the right thing to do. But yeah, I'm glad it got done.
Shoot, I don't know if you remember this, but in the 90s, there was a big push, and we were hoping Clinton was going to do that, but the FBI, hundreds of FBI agents went to his office and said, no way. But, you know, it's just been proven over the years with people like Robert Redford promoting documentaries and all the information that's been out over the years that he did not get a fair trial. I believe if he would have said that he was guilty, he would have been out years ago. Sure. You know, all these factors. And now he's 80 years old, been in prison for almost 50 years. And he's almost like, for me, a Mandela kind of thing where he's out. And but it's also gray dark on that day. I mean, the swearing in, and then we had Martin Luther King Day, and it's just. And then Leonard was commuted, and it's, I don't know. I'm just rumbled up here in emotion and confusion.
Yeah, no doubt. And it was literally in the last minutes of Biden's presidency, right, that it got done. And thank goodness. And to your point, I mean, this is something 50 years, right? We've lived this with this for our whole lives, and. As you said, people who were intimately, closely involved in the entire investigation, the trial, refuted sort of some of their statements, their actions, and really supported his innocence, really. And I'll tell you, just from my time in government, that how much of a sort of a, what do they say, third rail, you know, a hot button issue Leonard Peltier was with law enforcement. And, you know, I and the city council, I was, you know, very closely engaged with law enforcement, and you couldn't even talk about it. I mean, you mentioned his name and it just put up a wall, right? And there was no space to have a conversation. And so it's really interesting locally to see sort of relations between law enforcement, the Minneapolis police, and American Indian Movement AIM. And just in our little corner of the city, right, there's been incredible, I don't even want to say thawing of relationships, but growth in relationships. In the third Minneapolis Police Third Precinct, which is where the American Indian Culture Corridor is, it's where George Floyd was murdered. But there's been such a deliberate effort on behalf of the precinct leadership to build relationships with AIM. You know, I keep a couple of photos of AIM and the AIM director, Perro, and the precinct commander. The precinct commander wears this beautiful beaded medallion that someone in the community made for him. It's so different. I remember as our ancestor Clyde Belcour was preparing for retirement, the Minneapolis police chief came and presented him an award, and he even was joking. He goes, yeah, I don't think anyone would ever thought, you know, I'd be standing here with the police chief receiving an award. But that's very local, I know.
Right.
But to me, you know, it's the local. I'm an act local kind of guy.
Absolutely. And I got to give a credit to two news agencies here in Minneapolis, or in the Twin Cities, ran a spot on it, which really pleasantly surprised it. So I don't want to say it's normalized things, but it's maybe people are healed or healing. And different generations think of things differently. But I was really pleasantly just surprised to see that.
Right. And again, this is not directly related, I know, so maybe I'm just sort of grasping at straws here, but when we talk about, we were talking earlier about what the next 4 years are going to look like, and with Native people being the resistance people, you know, then we're also, this is another way of showing the way forward, right? I think healing is exactly the right word, and it's not healed yet, but this is certainly a step in the right direction. And for me, you know, I kind of grew up in a direct action kind of activism, and always acknowledging that you take your direct action to raise awareness or to gain access, and then you promote the change that you want to see, right? And that means sometimes engaging in dialogue with people that you don't really like, or you don't really want to be in the room with, even, or sitting at the table. And I feel like the responsibility of exercising leadership is to be willing to do that. Yeah. Right? And I think with the examples you just raised, Robert, are great examples of that, you know, of this kind of healing. You know, everything you can't change the past,
right?
But you can commit to doing things differently in the future.
Well, and I tell you too, I'm really grateful that we have this opportunity on AM 950, Civic Media, all over Wisconsin, and all our other stations that cover Native Roots Radio, because we can have conversations like this. People can listen that don't know. And, you know, I was on somebody else's radio show earlier today and talking about how we need allies, how we're a small group of people, but we are still here and we still matter. And there's a lot of information out there that you give and that the show gives that people had no idea about. And, you know, it's great that we're having our fireside basically chat about this and people can listen. And I'm really grateful for this platform.
Agree. And you have just done marvels with it, Robert and Haley and the people that came before you. Haley, and I really am grateful for that as well. And then just even being, you know, we have access to spaces and just dropping a little fact here and there. I was at a board training for a new board that I've joined recently. I'm now a trustee of the 19. Walker Arts Center.
Now you're in 19 boards.
Yeah, that's what I got. Now I'm on 18. This is my 18th title. And there's this, you know, the Walker's wealth came from stolen land, and they acknowledged that. And it was kind of being presented the history, and they made their incredible wealth in lumber, right? And so they just kind of said, oh, yeah, and, you know, the lumber industry cleared the lumber in northern Minnesota. And so I was able to just drop a little fact into this conversation that a lot of the lumber workers, maybe majority of them, were Native Ojibwe people, Ojibwe men, who, you know, were kind of straddling, trying to honor their Mother Earth and respect, you know, Mother Earth and feed their families, right, in this new world. And so that the lumber industry was used as a tool of forced assimilation. And the people in this room had no clue. And I wasn't being nasty about it or anything, but it was being presented as sort of a Native neutral thing, and it wasn't a Native neutral thing. And the person presenting was grateful, and he said, well, I didn't know any of that. He's even followed up with me, looking for resources and just expressing, and, you know, thank you for saying that. Because in his mind, it had always been, it, you know, sort of a race neutral, Native neutral thing.
Well, with that kind of response, it gives us and gives me pause for hope. And that isn't the way things were presented 20 years ago, 15 years ago, 10 years ago. Definitely 5 not years 30 ago. Years ago. Right.
Right. So, yeah. And there's still so much resistance, but against these kinds of ideas and conversations. But yeah, earlier in my public career, whenever I was talking about something that sort of to bump up against race or bump up against racism, you could just see the room, you know, put up a wall, shut off, you know, not even listen to what I was saying. And you're right. We're in a different era. You know, people are willing to hear things that maybe they weren't willing to hear just a few years ago. And it's necessary, right? Especially in this new Trump administration, in this era of resistance, we got to keep talking, we got to keep speaking out loud, you know, because there is this huge resistance to talking about anything to do with race. And
well, I don't know, can you stay for another quick segment? I know you got to get going soon, but if you can't, that's fine too.
I can't, I apologize.
No, that's good. No, don't apologize. Pretend people listening to this pretend we didn't have this conversation. Haley and I have plenty to talk about. And I also now have a new line of shirts called Resistant Experts that Robert brought up, and I'll have to give you a little piece of the pie once I get those made.
All right, I can't wait to see it.
Right on. Hey, Big Peeny Gee, thank you, Robert, for all you do, and thank you so much for coming on these last 5-6 years and making Native Roots Radio what it is, really. Thank you, Big Peeny.
My pleasure. Thanks for what you do.
All right, we'll see you soon. See you next week.
A home that needs new everything, plus the kitchen sink. Life math is complicated. Affinity Plus makes it easier. With great rates on a home equity line of credit, we make tackling home projects less stressful. Visit affinityplus.org/rates to learn more today. Affinity Plus Federal Credit Union. Insured by NCUA. Equal housing lender.
Hey, it's Patrick. Your friends and family may be gone now, but the messes that were left behind on your carpets, rugs, upholstery, and more remain. That's why you need to call my cleaning heroes at Zero Res and get 2024 out of your house for good. That's why to start the new year, Zero Res is offering 24% off all cleaning services for the month of January. That's 24% off carpets, tiles, rugs, upholstery, any surface in your home, and don't forget about your air ducts. Call Zero Res right now at 952-ZERO-RES or visit ZeroResMinnesota.com and ask for the AM 950 special. But Zero Res isn't just good for cleaning up the post-holiday messes at home. They can make your business look great, too. Zero Res was out at the station this fall, and we couldn't have been happier with their quality of work and their professionalism, and the station looks great. So don't wait. Book your home cleaning today. Call 952-ZERO-RES or go to ZeroResMinnesota.com and ask for the AM 950 special. Zero Res.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Oh-ho! This is Dallas Goldtooth, and you're listening to the Native Roots Radio. Hoka Hicha Wicha.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
How? Yeah, geez. Great segment with Robert, as always. I'm here with Haley Cherry, and you know, a lot of great points brought up. I just got a message too that the Navajo Nation just confirmed that one of their members was detained overnight by ISIS in
ICE.
Thank you. In our enrollment, even you know, we have to be ready for that, and wow. It's a new thing. And you know what they're going to come after first, and that will make everything in Indian country crumble, is going after ICWA again. So I hear that's what's happening.
The Indian Child Welfare Act.
Right.
People who don't know what ICWA is.
Thank you. And so we have to really pay attention to these things here in Indian country, because, you know, as we see with, you know, what happened January 6th, and now all those fools are out, that we, this democracy is on thin ice, and we have to really acknowledge that. You know, I don't know if I ever told you this, Haley, but I did over the radio. I used to teach high school, and I was teaching high school when Trump first became president. Mm-hmm. And one of my classes was an ELL, which English learners, you know, second language learner class.
Okay. Sure.
And when he was elected, the next day, half my class was gone and never came back.
They all
went into hiding.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. And so, you know, they took his threat seriously. And
I'm sure it's taken more seriously this time around too, as well. And just going back to you mentioning the Navajo Nation and a tribal member being detained, just kind of curious as to how the Navajo Nation is going to respond to that. So it was them that put out that statement, Robert?
Yes, it is. Okay. And correct. And then that statement was forwarded to me.
Well, the current tribal president of Navajo Nation, didn't he donate a bunch of money to Trump, the Trump campaign?
I'm not sure. So,
okay, we can move on.
Yeah, no, I mean, we can look that out. I mean, I you know, a lot of nations out there play both sides of the track, because that's just political. You know, you give X amount of dollars to the Democrats and X amount of dollars to the Republicans, because you don't know who's going to win. And there was Native Americans at the inaugural, you know, for him. And we know that. And so, yeah, we got War Eagle that said something here. I want to mention too. And he said, said that this is not about our treaty sovereignty protection, but the whole protection of our common constitutional rights, etc. So making political allies in the defense of each constitutional future. Mm. Exactly. And then our friend Nina, who's a great listener, said, save ICWA. We have to keep fighting for our rights over and over again, and are fighting for our children.
Yeah. It's like a constant battle. Like, it's like, you can win one battle, but there's always going to be the next one. Like, the war is just, you know, continuing against Native people.
Well, what's interesting, too, what Robert said, again, that the clarity that he has is that we've been through this before and we're almost the experts, the resistant experts. So
yeah,
that's really really heartwarming to hear. Also, I remember when he was elected that, you know, the Attorney General of Minnesota was getting ready, too, because they fought a lot of Trump stuff the first time with lawsuits and things like that. So people are getting ready and they know the dance. It's kind of shaking, but you know, we have to move forward and we have to protect ourselves, protect Mother Earth, protect our sovereignty, and be the true people of this continent and be strong.
Yeah, I agree. And I want to mention, too, not just like our south border, but also our Canadian border, too, here in Minnesota. We have like half of our tribes up in that 100-mile radius of border, Canadian border. So that includes everywhere along Lake Superior to Duluth and then Bemidji as well. So keep those tribal IDs on you at all times.
Yeah, really, really good point, Haley, because if there are people up there, they don't know the difference. And, no. The ICE, the people from ICE, but yeah, interesting times we live in, but it's important. I got to say, it's important what you do, Haley, and what we try to do here on the show and what I try to do.
Yep.
And one of the things that I strongly said when I was talking to Robert too, is that we need to bring out these lies and call them what they are. And that's going to be part of our job for 4 years. And
yeah.
And, along with, rock musicians and comedians, but,
yeah, well, it's kind of like, you know, you can't go into hiding. You can't just, you know, put your headphones on and ignore what's happening in the world. I know, as much as you want to. And it's okay to take those breaks and focus on positive things like creating art or working on your hobbies and learning dance. Like, as long as you're bringing and incorporating your culture into your life in a positive way, I think that gives us strength in a lot of ways, and the same strength that carried our ancestors too.
I got to add too, Haley, to stay awake. Yeah. And that means a lot of different things. I mean, the Republicans make fun of being woke and all that, but we're awake in many different ways, not just woke, but we're awake that, you know, things that have happened to Native communities and BIPOC communities and poor people, because we got to remember, this is, if you look at these people, this is the rich against the poor, what's happening right now. And it's become very apparent, and they're trying to cut us off at the pass, so to speak.
Yeah. Better to be awake than to be sleeping.
Yeah. Except if you've been up really late.
Yeah. No. Well, yeah. I want to mention this thing. It's one of your favorites besides powwows, Robert. Can you guess?
Besides powwows, round dance.
Ooh, good one. Ding,
did
ding,
I?
Ding, ding, ding.
Did
yeah.
I? Oh, wow. Yeah. Oh, I don't know. I guess.
Yeah, this will be in Minneapolis at the Minneapolis American Indian Center, February 12th. This is kind of their Valentine's round dance, but they're calling it, it's not on Valentine's Day. It'll be the Wednesday before, because Friday we know is Valentine's Day, and we'll be all in Minneapolis for the MMIR, Missing and Murdered Indigenous Relatives March. Bunch of stuff going on the 14th of February. So the Indian Center in Minneapolis will be hosting their round dance on the 12th. That'll be fun. It'll be 6 to 9 in the evening. You can bring your kids, your family, your Valentine, and you can stay tuned and follow the Minneapolis American Indian Center on socials for more updates. And Robert,
yes,
we were just at the Minneapolis American Indian Center like last week.
That's right. I had a nice little sandwich in that.
Gatherings Cafe.
Yeah.
Oh, it was so good. We were served by a very kind lady.
Yes.
She was fun to talk to. And their whole menu at Gatherings Cafe at the Indian Center is indigenized.
Right.
So you can't even get ketchup.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Ooh, let's unplug from the politics and rock some local tunes on Max Inc. This week, we welcome Or Does It Explode and Chicago Blues Hall of Famer Paul Flipowitz. It's Max Inc. Saturday and Sunday, 6 p.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Seems everywhere in the state, housing has just gotten so expensive. Our current president ran on promises to help the middle class, and I'd like to know what he's going to do about the housing shortages. I went through the executive orders. I read through the speech transcript a couple of times. Nothing he really said or did in the first couple days has anything to do with helping the middle class.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. His intention? Investigators are trying to determine that. An armed individual managed to get past security at the U.S. Capitol complex and went on a tour.
Authorities say the man set off magnetometers at the Capitol Visitor Center and was then subjected to additional screening by a Capitol police officer who failed to find the firearm, which was discovered as the man left the Library of Congress following his tour. That officer has been suspended pending a full review of the incident. We're told that Capitol police officers will now undergo mandatory refresher training.
ABC's Pierre Thomas. A federal judge in Seattle imposed a temporary restraining order blocking President Trump's bid to redefine birthright citizenship in the U.S., the judge calling it blatantly unconstitutional. One of the executive orders the president signed on Thursday declassifies files on JFK's assassination and those of Bobby Kennedy and Martin Luther King Jr. in the 60s. This is ABC News.